I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. We have everybody here tonight. The next is citizen input. And if you have something you'd like to address the council about that is not on the agenda, which is just the dog issue, raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and you can come up and state your name and address, and we'll give you up to 5 minutes. Okay, since nobody raised their hand, we'll close that. Do I hear a motion for the approval? Where am I at here? Citizen input. Okay, approval of the agenda.
Make that motion.
Okay, Mark Snyder first.
I'll second.
Okay, Ken. Okay, there's second. Any discussion?
Mayor, well, so we need to add, under the approval of the agenda, we need to add approval of payroll and related expenses under the consent agenda.
So that needs to be put in that first part? Okay. Sounds good to me. Okay. Okay, you still have the first. Mark, that's fine with you. That's put on there?
Yeah.
And Ken, second. Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, consent agenda with the addition of the approval of payroll 3.4. Any discussion on that?
Yes. I'm going to vote no on the consent agenda again because it includes improvement of warrants. And in the warrants is a voucher that pays the unemployment benefits to a couple of our former employees. We put this as the same one we put aside before. It was just without any getting any input back, we just re-included in this meeting's warrants. I do not think we should pay this without some kind of protest and getting a letter from them saying that we reviewed it and we're either right or wrong. I've always treated the city as if I'm running my own business. If I was my own business, I would not pay this bill. And I would remind the council members that these are not state tax dollars out of some pool. These are the way our unemployment is set up for the city. These are direct tax dollars. They're leaving the city. This is money that could be used for infrastructure, playground equipment, etc. And I believe it's being spent in a borderline fraudulent manner by paying these unemployment benefits without being further researched.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Aren't we on the deadline where we could be penalized for
it? Yeah, yes. Recall the last meeting that they presented the payment to the council, and the council members four indicated that we don't have to pay this for another month, which is right. February 28th is our last day to pay that without incurring penalties. The further discussion relative to the payment was, can we appeal? There is an appeal process. We asked Mr. Whitaker to look into it, which he did, and as I explained to Mr. Spohr today, he called and said that he called the Unemployment Security Division and felt after discussing it with them that the city had really no recourse.
And that's the appeal process?
But it exists, but he said we wouldn't prevail.
I find that really pertinent. I mean, granted, it's like if you're ever don't stay at work, you pay them first and then you get to talk about it. But and that might be the same scenario, but I find that really hurtful.
And what's the harm of going through the appeal process and getting the letter saying we don't?
We can certainly do that. We can try to stay any penalties with a letter tomorrow if you desire. But the council indicated you wanted to put back on this agenda for the 28th. That was our deadline.
But in the meantime, do we need to pay employment security? Otherwise, do we face fines and interest penalties because the payment was due as of today?
Right.
I guess what I'm asking is, even if we do our part,
I believe that you can, unless the clock is run on. There may be an appeal time period, which I don't know. If the clock is already run, then no. But if it hasn't, then yes, we can.
Yeah, because usually they go through an appeal hearing, and it's usually...
That's on the front part. We did that with one of the claimants. I participated in that, and it was further denied. And then they went to work for another employer, claimed benefits after they worked for a certain amount of time, which comes back to the city to pay. So that's where we're at. We've already gone through the hearing once.
I agree with you, Mark.
Well, my position would be we talk about investments. Even if we pay the penalties and fines, we need to bring this up on the radar. Because I want, when I go to my constituents and say, this is where our tax dollars are going, I want to at least be able to say, but we tried, we appealed, and this is what the state is telling us. And right now, I've got word that they pay people unemployment over 3 years and $2,000 to $4,000 over a month for 3 years. That's a lot of money, and I want to put the foot down now, even if I have to pay some fines. I want some kind of response from employment security that this is how the system works, because then we can step it up and start getting to our representatives and saying, this is ridiculous. Well, it's regrettable not even a letter was sent. I don't want to take on the state. All I want is a response back that, yes, we got your appeal, and this is the reasoning, or this is the law.
Catherine, you know anything about the time limits on repeals and things like that?
On the initial claim, yes. On the second one, no. I have to look.
Okay. Could you find that out maybe and let Eamon know, and he email all of us? Something like that. So your thought on this would be to pay and then appeal afterwards, or what? You have any thought on this? Yes.
I think since you've not been successful at the initial appeal, my impression, just from what little I've heard, is that you probably won't stand a huge chance of success on the second go-round. I would encourage you to pay so that you avoid the penalties and interest at this point if the statute of limitations is still open to have an opportunity to challenge the second claim for benefits. Then, absolutely, if it looks like you have a factual case to present it, and you'll get the answer in writing back from them. If the statute of limitations has already expired, obviously, then there's nothing to be gained. And they will impose penalties. That's not discretionary on their end. So good cause or not, you're going to face the penalties and interest as soon as the money is late.
If you pay that fine and then appeal, but once you pay it, haven't you said you've...
You're not waiving your rights.
You're not waiving your right to appeal.
No, you. In fact, you could even send a check in, writing on it, which is legal to do, that you are paying it under protest that you have not waived any legal rights to appeal, that you're doing so only to avoid penalties and late charges. I would be surprised, however, that the statute of limitations would still allow an appeal if you're this close to the outside deadline that is going to be incurring.
I kind of throw it in the ones after you go through the first process like that. Then you're out there, you're on an island. And I agree with Mark, I'd love to sit here and fight with it. Just like you don't want to waste taxpayer money, then we sit there and pay penalties and interest on it, that we're going to waste their money anyway.
Well, the problem is that the basis that we would have for appealing it the second time is no different than it was the first time. So their position is essentially, we've already heard the case, we've already decided it, and now you're just wanting an opportunity to re-argue essentially the same case. So they tend to reinforce what people in their own line of command have already made a decision about, unless we come forward with new factual evidence. In this case, I'm not sure that we have anything new or different.
present.
However, we won the first appeal, and it was denied.
But remember, the appeal, the first hearing, was about the city of Othello and what happened here. That was denied. Then they went to work for somebody else. Then they made another claim after they worked however many weeks it took. Then they quit. So the appeal is based on that decision to award benefits when they left the second employer. Not us, it's on that second employer. That's what the hearing's all about. So you're right, we won the first one. But that doesn't mean we'll win the second one. It's a different deal.
Well, I just want to go through the process, because when they made that second decision, the first we found out about is when we got an invoice. We were given no opportunity to appeal or give our input of why these employees turned in their resignation.
Right, and that was a question asked and answered by Jim Whitaker, and he said, we don't receive notice because the appeal isn't for us. It's the second employer. That's what it's all about. It's not us anymore. We won ours, they went to work, became eligible again, and now it's the incumbent on the city to pay, because we're in that pay period or that bracket or whatever it is you get paid for when you're on unemployment. Nobody disagrees with the Mark. Everybody thinks this isn't the right process.
Well, and I do think it's about us, because us is the ones who are writing a $5,000 check to these people that are probably shouldn't even be getting this money.
But it isn't us that made them eligible. It was a second employer that made them eligible.
But that's what I want to hear from the state.
And let's not forget.
Yeah.
Because of the way the city's set up, it's a check from us. But if it was a normal employer, such as like my business or her business or Johnson's less, this money's already paid.
Yeah, you pay into the
pool. It's already paid in their hands.
We're reimbursing the state because they made the payment.
Exactly. So. Right. That money has been deducted, in, so to say, at one point in time.
Well, and I'll look into then whether or not we even have standing to bring an appeal, because since we weren't the employer that had the separation in this instance, we may not even have standing to file an appeal.
Because it bypass us now, huh? Because
we're not the employer that was involved with the second one. So I'll check that, whether we have standing and whether we can still.
But your issue is right, Mark. We're the one paying the bill.
Yeah.
I agree.
We are kind of involved. Yeah. And I guess if that's true, I guess I can be quoted the statute, or I would still like a letter back from them, letting them know our specific case, our specific circumstances, sending that to them, and getting a letter of understanding or something back from them that's saying, we're right, this is the way the system works. Then we can start, to me, jumping it up to say, telling people, this is how the system works and this is where your tax dollars are going, and if you don't like that, talk to your representatives.
We'll see if we can get you something in writing.
But I'd like it, from the department, State Department, if possible. But I'm still gonna vote no just to make my point tonight. You all do the right thing.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have a first and a second? Where were we at?
No, you didn't.
I lost track.
Okay. You didn't yet.
All right.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Okay, Ken Johnson first. Do I have a second on approving the consent agenda?
Second.
Okay, Gina second. Any more discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, current business. Public hearing.
We have the results of the survey that you wanted, but just so you can see the volume that we received.
Excuse me, Eamon, I'm going to read it, and we'll get started. Public hearing procedure. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:15 p.m. and is to receive a staff report and public comments on the recent dog license community survey. We will now hear a staff report. Go ahead, Andy.
Thank you, Mayor. Several meetings ago, the City Council was made aware of a conflict between two different ordinances in the city codes. The zoning ordinance has a conflict with the dog licensing ordinance. What we have been, our process in the past has been to license dogs. As many dogs, somebody came in and wanted to license, because there's no restriction in the dog licensing ordinance on the number of dogs that a person in a residential area can have. It came to light upon a complaint by a citizen about the number of dogs in a residential area. Code enforcement officer went to the residence and counted the 8 dogs, 7 or 8 at that time, and was in the process of issuing an infraction notice, and came upon the zoning ordinance 17.09.430 that restricts the number of dogs in a residential zone to 2. Okay. This ordinance states more than 2 dogs constitute a kennel. Less than an 8-week-old pup shall not constitute a dog, therefore you can't count a pup. Under OMC, kennels are not allowed in residential zones, so in effect, the code limits the number of dogs in residential zones to 2. So hence the conflict. To get a license, there's no limit, but if you live in a residential area, the zoning laws prohibit more than 2 dogs. So just to reinforce that, if you look at some of the zoning chapters, C1B, which is a commercial zone, allows for small animal hospitals or kennels, and that's under the conditional use section. As well as in commercial 2 or C2 zone, same thing, permitted uses, animal hospitals, clinics, and kennels. So in a C2 or 1B, you could have a kennel. And you go to the residential zoning ordinances R1, 2, 3, and 4, and you have the uses specifically prohibited or commercial activities not otherwise specifically permitted, i.e. having a kennel. So you can see the difference in the two ordinances. So council, upon hearing this, said, let's find out what the public wants to do. Let's conduct a public hearing, which we're here tonight to do. Let's conduct a public survey. Let's put notices in the paper, let the public know what we're doing. And let's advertise on our city webpage and ask people to come and fill out the survey. You can see the bulk of the surveys there. And just a quick review of the survey results, which you should all have a copy of. And surveys, as you know, can be interpreted any way you want. People can read into what they want. We try to make things as simple as possible. So question number 1, should more than 2, really says, line, should more than 2 dogs without a kennel license be allowed in a residential zone? So should more than 2 dogs be allowed in a residential zone? There are 97 yeses and 160 no's. The second question was, the current OMC code says that if you have more than 2 dogs, you must have a kennel license. Do you think the number of dogs should be increased? The answer, yes response was 90, the no responses were 167. And then the last question, if you answered yes to the number 2, how many dogs do you think should be allowed before a kennel license is required? And you can see the responses, 3 dogs, 43, 4 dogs, 35, 5 dogs, 10, and other, which could be less than 3 or more than 5, and there's 9 responses. So you can see what the community has said relative to the survey. And I believe there are other individuals here tonight to talk to the council relative to their personal beliefs. The question that was asked today from a council member was, what are our surrounding cities doing? What kind of ordinances do they have? We checked from Quincy, Royal City, Soap Lake, I think we checked 6. All of them were the same. All of them had 3 dogs. Irregardless of spay or neuter questions, they had a 3 dog limitation. There are some other cities, particularly on the west side, that are looking at doing a combined total number of, for example, dogs and cats. And some numbers are 3, some at 4. That's not our question tonight, but I just wanted to know what the world was doing. So we've conducted the survey. You have the results. You have a summary of the conflict between our two ordinances, and the public hearing is to be conducted tonight. So that's the staff report.
Thank you, Eamon. Okay, I'll now ask for public testimony, questions or objections to be heard from the citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone right there and state your name and address for the record. I'll allow up to 5 minutes. Go ahead.
My name is Arnette Hunter. I live at 1221 East Juniper, and I have 9 homes.
Okay.
And they are fenced in. They're taken in at night to where there are no noise to any neighbors. They're well taken care of. They are vet checked. They are licensed. And they've been licensed for 4 years. I believe 4 years.
Okay.
And so I would like to be able to continue to keep my dogs. Chuck is building my kennel for my personal use, not for storing dogs or boarding dogs. These are strictly for my dogs.
Okay.
They're cleaned up behind, and I know I have a neighbor that objects to them. I heard because he was allergic, but he has 2 or 3 of his own. So that can't possibly be the reason.
Okay.
And I have applied for a license. I do raise English Bulldogs, and I've applied for a license. I've not issued one. I pay worship and sales tax on these dogs. I go out of town to sell them because the city will not issue me a license to do so. Nor will they get a license, I'm sure.
Okay, well, thank you. Anybody else? Go ahead, Chuck, come on up.
Hi, my name is Chuck Kepke. I live at 1245 Cedar Street. I do work over at Arnett's on her kennel, on her dogs, on her pens. For a while, there was always a noise from the dogs and neighbors behind them as well. Arnett has put up a white vinyl fence to separate people going down the alley so the dogs don't bark. She does take the dogs in at night. I know that for a fact. All the dogs are separated in different pens, and there are boards in between the fences as well so the dogs can't see back and forth. Neighbor's dogs bark way more than her dogs, but hers is taken care of all the time. The dog right behind her place in the alley is one big dog that just constantly runs and barks all the time, even when you're there. So if they're trying to isolate how many dogs you have, if you look at number one, there's only 127 responses to that. Or no, number one, 257 people responded to number one. On the second question, 257 people responded to that one. But on number three, on the amount of dogs, you added up, there's only 127 people that said anything on that. What happened to the first two that voted for way more for 257? Look, the numbers don't even add up. But I have 2 dogs of my own. I can control mine. There's places where there's some that have 1 dog, and they don't even take care of it. They let them bark all night long. When you do call the city on it, code enforcer is not there. He's out of town. We'll have an officer come by. If we can hear him bark, we'll put in a complaint on him. We'll have to be able to look at it. Arnett does take her dogs in at night, all of them that she has. So there's a wide variety of what's going on with different dogs and different things in town. Kittens. The dogs that bark during the day is no worse than a car horn barking or a car horn going off. When you call on a car horn going off at night, you know, when you got the alarm set, and the police tell you, you know what they tell you? We cannot tell that person to set the alarm off because if something happens to the car, you are liable. But they can't go by and tell a dog or have somebody make from a dog go barking in the backyard, or you'll hear them all across town. I know Arnett puts a lot of work into her dogs, and they're all pets for her, and like I say, she does take care of it. She spends more money on those dogs than she does paying running in the streets, and they're just for pets. Everybody has pets. There's people up the street that have 7 chihuahuas in one house. If you want to get technical on it, we need to start looking at the ordinances of how many people you can put in a one-bedroom apartment. I live across from the apartments, and I'll have 15 guys in a one-bedroom apartment. Are you going to make them get a kennel license for that? Or is there an ordinance how many that you can put in there?
Good point.
It's a good question, right? Dan? You know, what can you do? How can you keep them from putting 15 people in one-bedroom apartment? You can't. So, but anyway, that's all I have to say. I know I have to take really good care of the dogs. And the neighbors' dogs have to be parked as much as they're allowed to do. So, and I know for cleaning up after her dog, she's out there spraying at night for anything they're trying to do to get rid of any odor that is out there. I only have one garbage can myself in my house. I know Annette at times has 4 for hers because she wants to control how much odor that there comes from the cans and stuff like that. And she can only compost so much of it in. So she goes out of her way to take care of the dogs. So.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. So any other comments? Kim, go ahead.
I am Kim Bailey. I'm a 5-person Olympia, fellow Washington. And I have 2 dogs because I know that dogs are pack animals and they need company. And I volunteer with Pet Rescue. And I've taken in dogs repeatedly in emergency situations for Pet Rescue, which means I've had 3 dogs. I didn't realize that. I was really surprised to hear that the cities around us have dealt with this by limiting dogs. And one of my goals is to rescue dogs from senior citizens who lose their ability to take care of dogs, either from death or being put in a senior citizen center. And I watch Pet Rescue, the Pet Finder site, because I'm searching for a particular kind of dog that I want to be involved in rescuing at the end of their life. And so what I feel like is I'll be taking on labs, and I'll be taking on a senior yellow lab that I have to live a couple of years, and then I'll take on another senior lab that will live a couple of years, and I'll be able to provide the service for people. And a lot of times, people have 2 dogs because they know they're pack animals, and so I never even thought the city would be able to keep me from doing what I wanted to do in that way. And because I've been trolling the sites, looking at, in some cases, there'll be 2 dogs. It's always senior Molly, 11 years old, plus Buddy, you know, 9 years old. And so I would be taking on either 1 or 2 dogs with my own 2 dogs. That was me for. So when I heard about the survey, I filled it out readily, thinking that, that's not too bad. And my thought is all, because I work with Doyle a lot, being down at the site, I usually do Mondays. And so then my thought would be, well, why do we need an ordinance? Is it because there's a problem trying to solve? And is there any other ordinance that would solve that problem? In other words, is there a noise problem that we're trying to solve by limiting dogs? Is there a hoarding problem, which is rents? As you know, people have mental illness and hoarding is a sign of that. Is it someone trying to run a business out of the city when they should really have property out of town? And so I can see that the city would want to deal with ordinance. But so what we have to set a limit out would be 4. And if we don't have to set a limit, then what ordinances do we have in place that we can deal with any other problem? So, and I appreciate your work. I appreciate this could be a very difficult issue to hash out. So thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Any other public comments? Council want to hear from somebody twice? Okay, yeah, go ahead. Come up to the mic again and state your name and address.
Say it again?
Yes, your name and address.
Arnett Hunter, 1221 East Jennifer. If they have a problem with dogs running all over the neighborhood at night, which I have heard this goes on, I have no problem with them having to regulate that. But I don't understand why, in my situation, if my the city comes up, if the council comes up and checks it out and certifies it, licenses it, I see no problem. I appreciate you listening to me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else before we close the public comments time? Okay, then we will move on to, if there's no public comments. Okay, looks like there's no response. Okay, staff want to respond to any of the public comments?
Mayor, just one clarification. Those of you that have been involved with surveys in the past realize that there's no survey that all the totals are going to equal the total number that come in or the total number of questions. People don't answer all the questions sometimes, so you're not going to get everything to total up to the end. You just aren't in the survey. Mm-hmm. So that's just a point of clarification.
Okay. Does any council members have comments or questions at this time? No council members at the moment? Okay. Okay, I will now close the public hearing at 7:32. Okay. Does the council want to continue discussion now that we're at a public hearing on trying to come up with a dog amount and kennel question? Or do we want to wait?
I would like to start some discussion now.
Okay.
As a foundation, I guess.
Go ahead.
Well, we're here representing the citizens, and according to the survey, the citizens have overwhelmingly responded that two dogs is what they prefer in the residential areas of this town. So I think we need to give that quite a bit of weight. Talking with some people, there's also... And I don't know if the other towns have this, but there might be some credence to how whether you're determining a kennel run as a business as to how many litters you have a year also. And I don't know if you explored that for the cities, but maybe you could say only two litters a year, regardless of how many dogs you have up to a certain point. I would throw out, based on the other cities around us, and there are some in the survey that think you should have more than two, that you have, that in residential areas, a maximum of three dogs.
Any other comments?
Mm-hmm. And that'd be like me asking, you asking me to take all my kids away in that sense. And I think there, whatever we do has to have some type of grandfather clause in it. You know, whatever number we're trying to get to make it a little bit more efficient or whatever is our goal at the end. But we have to entertain the grandfather clause in a lot of things in this issue by far. Because
I've had my two mongrel ones for 9 years.
Yeah, that's as old as my youngest son. I get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got to be real careful with that.
I looked in the paper, Spokane paper, and advertisements for people selling dogs. And it was one advertisement in there for one guy had two litters available. And can anybody tell me what the gestation period is for a dog? I can't remember anymore. It's not very long.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick. And he either had two bitches that he had bred, and they came together. And I don't recall just the number of days. But if you got two litters of dogs for sale looks to me like you're running a puppy mill, or if not a puppy mill, you got a business selling animals. I don't think we should have businesses, people, you know, having 3, 4, 5 litters of dogs a year and selling them. That requires a business license, and I think you have to be outside the residential zone to do that. So I don't know where it goes. I never had more than one dog in my life, except when I lived on a farm. It didn't make any difference, but I understand what you're saying about, you know, people have had dogs for a while, then you're going to go in and say, okay, you got to take them down to the city pound and have them euthanized. I don't think that's right either. But I don't see anything wrong with 3 dogs.
It's online, but we've got a second.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked at this too. I've had dogs more or less all my life too, but I really try to maintain at least 1 or 2. But I understand where people come from. It's got several. I agree with Charles here that we can't just cut it off. Those dogs that belong to them, they're theirs, and we'll have to maintain some type of extension for those people. Whatever they were licensed, that should continue until they either get rid of their dogs or dies or whatever. But our problem is we've got 2 ordinances here that don't conform. We've got one that says we do such a thing, the other one has no limit of the amount of dogs. And that's where we've got to get those to come together so we don't have this problem in the future. And my personal thought would recommend that at least 3 dogs, and have the same as far as the business as your license, and the same as for your amount of dogs you can have within your area, with the exception of people that have now licensed their dogs, either last year or this year, whichever comes true as far as what you've licensed, they can continue to have that dog. You can't just say, hey, you can't have those dogs anymore. That's not the way to go. And I think that as long as those dogs are living and whatnot, but they cannot replace them in the future. That would be the only other stipulation you'd have to do with it. I know that's not fair in some ways, but at least it would make a leap in where we should come from.
That's good.
I think part of this was brought up by more than one person who said, hey, the people who live next door to me got 8 dogs. How come? They don't take care of them. It stinks in the backyard, and they bark all the time, and they don't take care of them. Now, if you take care of your dogs, I guess you could have 20 dogs in there, and if they don't cause a problem, then I guess that's one thing. But how do you decide who's taking care of them, who's not? And I think you have to put a limit on how many you can allow to be there. I don't know. I think 3 dogs probably would be reasonable, and if you have those dogs, like Kent said, if you have the dogs now, then until they expire, 5, 6, 7 years from now, then I guess you can keep 4. I don't know. It may be hard to prove that, you know, that you've had the dog that long. I don't know. I guess you got a record of your licenses, so that's one way to do it. We need to put the 2 of them together. Because how do you give a guy a ticket when one says you can and one says you can't? So.
Well, the same goes for the litters. I
mean, yeah.
Anybody that has litters of dogs, they're not keeping them past 6 weeks anyway. I mean, that's the reality of it. And if it's not, I mean, if they're not doing business in the city and they're going out of town to sell them, then it's not affecting us. They're not selling dogs in the city. I mean, there's a fine line all the way around, and we gotta walk this one. But Ken's right. These 2 things don't even go with them. They're like this. One says one thing and the other says the other. So this one's a tough one, but no matter what, I mean, if somebody can show proof that they've had dogs licensed in the city for numerous years, I'm not gonna sit here and say they can't. No way.
So I'm hearing here then, we're thinking 3?
Yeah.
Is that what the council's thinking? So three dogs? Okay.
I think if you have more than three dogs or more than two litters in a year, you're a kennel. You're running a kennel operation. And I am receptive to the grandfather clause.
Okay.
But that's clause. Where the 2 liters comes in, 2 litters a year. If you've got 8 dogs and are having more than 2 litters, you're running a kennel business, and that's not allowed in residential area and shouldn't be. And this, that gives people who have, I mean, I brought a black lab in from Montana, and I bred her, and we had hunting dogs, and we gave them away to people. So, you know, it's kind of normal to have a litter or two a year. But beyond that, you're kind of in the business.
Does that sound like what the council wants to do?
But that's going to be something that's really, really hard and extremely hard to regulate.
Yeah, that's...
Yes.
You're going to go knock on every door?
Yes.
You know, that's the problem. And Doyle's got his hands full up now.
Lots of laws are hard to regulate. That shouldn't be an exception for not doing what's right.
Amen?
Yeah, I have a suggestion. The council on the first proposition of we were just about to turn the new year and license dogs for this year. The council asked basically an informal moratorium be put into effect. And you said all dogs that have been licensed in the past are dog owners that have more than 2 dogs can continue in 2011, so we did that. But you also said those that come that have not been licensed previously and come and want to license more than 2 dogs, we didn't do that. And that was a semi-moratorium that the council did. We have documentation, justification of those dogs and the owners that have licensed year after year that have more than 2 dogs. So that could become the standard that we allow to continue on as long as they continue to license them until they expire or are traded or sold or whatever. Then the number must come down to whatever number you set, 3. What we basically have, because we're dealing with a zoning ordinance, we have a non-conforming use of a zone. Now, the courts have ruled when you have a non-conforming use of a code, that non-conformance must come into compliance. However, you have to look at the situation and you have to give the person time to come into conformance. So if you say the list that we currently have of licensed dog owners that have more than 2 will continue, but they can't replace, they can continue as is, and nobody gives up their child, their dog, and that naturally takes its course and comes into compliance, which is the way the laws are set up. You take non-conformance and they have to become conforming. We've been working, for example, for 8 years with a trailer court on First Avenue to bring them into compliance because they weren't. If we had done that over a 2 or 3 year period, as an example, we would have displaced people in their dwellings. We would have had to have found homes for them. So we took the course that the courts have said, give them time. So I think we gave them 12 years to come into compliance. We could do exactly the same thing with this type of situation. So you can set your number at 3. You can, we can send a letter to the people that currently have registered more than 2 dogs and let them know they have to come into compliance as soon as their number goes down to 3, or give them a specific time, 10 years or whatever, lifespan of a dog, 14 years, something like that. And we can say no kennels allowed in residential areas. And I think that pretty much covers the issue of bringing these 2 ordinances into compliance or eliminates the conflict, excuse me.
Does that sound good to everybody? Was it a dog that's not allowed in the city?
You currently have it now, right?
I've had it for 6 months.
Then that could be licensed. If they agree to this concept.
It's currently licensed. And that's a dog that's allowed in our city.
Now this 2 litter business, is that 2 litters period or 2 litters per dog?
I don't think we're talking litters here. It doesn't sound like.
I don't know how you.
I don't know.
Litters, period.
Per year.
Per year. Beyond that, you're a business.
Well, I'm not denying that. But I go out of town to sell.
We're in a town. People move to cities and towns for reasons.
I have, there's a set of you.
So where's the council?
And I'm certainly not the only one in this town that has litters.
So where's the council on litters? Mark has brought up that he'd like to see a 2 litter per year. How does the rest of the council members feel?
Do you think there's anything comparing other cities' ordinances that regulate the kennels as far as per year number of litters?
I have not seen that. Maybe Catherine.
They don't normally regulate how many litters per year. They require that you get a business license and that you have an actual kennel facility that meets whatever the city's expectations of the kennel facility are to make sure that it doesn't turn into a nuisance issue. For instance, that it's enclosed so it doesn't have the noise issue, that the feces are properly cleaned up and disposed of, that they have insurance if they need insurance depending on the kind of dog that they're breeding. Those kinds of issues to make sure that it doesn't negatively impact a neighborhood. And of course, usually there'll be a conditional use within a residential zone if they're even allowed. But most jurisdictions I deal with will not allow a kennel in a residential zone.
How do they define kennel, though?
Yes. Yeah, it's basically anybody who's in the business of breeding dogs or boarding dogs.
And that's not allowed in residential.
No. That was one of my concerns when I come in today and I asked him exactly what was the definition of kennel, and we looked up in the Webster Dictionary, and that's why we have this right here.
Right.
And it says an establishment for the breeding and boarding of dogs.
Or boarding.
So we're trying to develop an ordinance that we bring back to you. So that's why we're, sounds like we're going to limit to 3. Grandfather in the dogs that are already here in the community until they, whatever, are sold or whatever. And then what about litters? Are we going to go that direction?
If you're going to go litters, I think you ought to allow, you know, find out how you're going to decide on litters. If okay, let's use this lady for an example. Say she's got 3 females and a male. And so each dog has 2 litters of 5 dogs each. So that happens like six times a year.
Well, you got to wait, okay? He's talking right now, okay? You need to wait.
Then you'd have something like 30 dogs if that was the case. Now, I'm not saying that you're doing that. I just, if... as an example of how you would, you know, somebody could get around that, unless you say so many dog litters per dog, ta-da, ta-da. That's going to be really hard
to regulate.
I'd rather see us leave that kennel, the litters thing out of it. If we do some research and find out something else, that there's some way that you can do that, we can always add that to the ordinance later. Can we not? Can we amend that ordinance to say, ta-da, ta-da.
Yeah, the council does the ordinances, so, yeah, yes.
So, I'd rather see us leave the litters thing out of it at this point.
Go ahead, Ken. Kayler's asking for the floor.
Well, my feeling is, I think we've already got that covered by the age of those dogs. They're not considered a dog as long as they're still a pup. So that would be under your litter clause. And if they're, I don't know what it is, 8 weeks or whatever it is, and after that time they would be considered a dog then. So that would, I think, would cover that, no matter how many litters they have. If they're past that certain age, then they're no longer, they can no longer have it.
Okay. Any other comments? Oh, Eamon, you want to say something?
The other issue is this a business or not a business? And if you have somebody in a house, residential zone, making widgets,
whatever widgets are, okay? They box them up, they go over to Seattle, they go to swap meet in Seattle, and they sell them, okay? They're still manufacturing them in Othello. That's a business. Where the point of sale is doesn't matter. It's where the business is.
Well, according to the definition, it's a facility for the breeding, and you're doing the breeding in
the city.
In the city.
Right, right.
My dogs aren't bred in cows, they're bred artificially.
You're still raising the broods, though. You're still raising the broods, though.
Yes, I'm raising the broods. But, and you was talking about two litters. My dogs only have a litter every other heat. I don't let them have a litter every heat.
Okay, so as far as the litter, are we leaning about towards not doing that?
But another comment. And if you allow three dogs, and they can have two litters a year, you're talking about six litters. That's a kennel. That's the business. And that is not allowed in residential. So if you just, so if you're just doing it on number of dogs, you might as well throw the word kennel out. Just say you can only have three dogs. And I don't think that's right. I think, so somebody has three dogs, they're having two litters a year, selling them. That's a kennel. That's a business in the residential that shouldn't be allowed. If you want to breed dogs, go 4 miles in either direction, and you're out in the country, you can do that. But again, we're back to defining breeding of dogs. And according to, if you went by this definition, you have one litter, you're breeding dogs, and that's a kennel operation, you're not allowed in the city.
If you keep them past a certain age, yes.
Well,
8 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And established, yeah, it's. I mean, I admit I did it when, you know, years ago when I had my hunting dog and we bred it, we sold it to other hunters for $100. You know, so I guess I was, depending on your definition, running a kennel or a business. But, you know, I really don't want to prohibit that. But I don't know, can you say you can have two litters and sell those and that's okay in town?
Right now you can have as many litters as you want, you just can't keep the dogs, the pups, past a certain age. Then they count as the number of dogs you have at your residence.
Yeah, but that's literally a business. When you're breeding dogs, raising them to a certain age, then selling them, that's your business.
I agree.
And right now we won't give them a license to do that.
Not to have a business, no.
Because we'll say, okay, you want to raise dogs, sell them, and you're in a residential area, and you want a business license for a kennel, kennels aren't allowed in residential areas. So you come full circle.
Right.
Won't this over time disappear down as the dogs go down to three?
When the number goes
then
down.
The three goes down, the three won't be such a big issue. Do we really need to address that right now? I mean, let it over time slowly take care of itself. You know what I mean? But we'd be down to three dogs. If they got more than that, it's a kennel in the city. Wouldn't that be the simplest way to go?
Yeah, but
so then if you want to breed your dog, it's fine. You know what I mean? It's just.
So you have six litters a year. Your three dogs have two litters.
No. Well, you can find other males.
But. Yeah.
So does that sound like an option for the council?
I don't know.
I mean, how are you going to check on that?
That's a guy came to us not long ago, a year or so ago, and wanted to start a little business in his garage. I'm not doing anything big. He just, you know, or he'd people pulling his garage and what are he's going to, I think, tin windows or something. And we denied that. It wasn't going to go any place outside of in his garage. And then there was some discussion, well, if he got a trailer and did it around town, but that's still, it's housed in the in a residential area. So we said, no, you can't do that. So, you know, if you're breeding dogs, selling them, then according to definition, you have a kennel. And if you're doing that, then that constitutes a business, which is denied by the city zoning ordinance. And that's why we have zoning ordinances, so you don't have run into these kind of situations. So, and I don't know, maybe we ought to take a look at this and do some research into how many litters that eat a year. And I know at one time they said if you get a pup, a bitch, you should have her bred and have one litter anyway before you have her spayed, because they do better. But then it's changed lately. But I don't know.
Go ahead, Kathleen.
I think you've got two issues here, and I believe that Eamon and I can come back with some proposed ordinances that will address both issues for you to consider. One of them is the reconciling the incompatibility of your zoning ordinance with your dog licensing ordinance, and that's strictly a numbers issue in terms of how many are going to be permitted. The other issue is regulating kennels as a business, and there's a wide variety of examples out there on how other jurisdictions have approached that. So I think what might be easiest perhaps is to bring back some language on that issue. We can take care of the other issue at the next meeting. That's a simple fix. But the larger issue of regulating kennels as a business, we can bring back some language that you can take a look at. Now that won't satisfy the issue as far as making the continuance of the business where you've got nine dogs that you're breeding as a business. That's not going to necessarily resolve that issue, because in essence what you are going to end up saying is, yeah, you can keep the dogs that you currently have, but we are going to regulate the breeding of dogs as a business depending on what our definition ends up being. And so to some extent you probably won't be allowed to continue that as a business in the residential zone. You can keep the dogs, you just can't continue to breed them, because that would violate the second ordinance that I'm talking about. And we'll bring you back some language so you can get a feel for what other jurisdictions have done to define that in a way that allows them to actually enforce it.
There is no ordinance presented tonight, and we needed this discussion to see what direction council on.
So the council's comfortable with three, correct?
Yes.
So that's how we'll build it, to make the two ordinances come together. So I guess we'll go with three, and then I guess we'll look at the rest to see.
Yeah, and you can give us direction from there.
That'll be back for our workshop. You'll have it ready for the workshop?
Sure.
In a week? So if you're interested in putting more into this, next Monday we'll be discussing it in a workshop. And then we'll get to hear the ordinance, and you can come back if you'd like to hear that. And we'll give you an opportunity to share with us again what you think a little bit about that. So I want to thank everybody that did come. I wish we'd had a lot more, but at least we got some citizens here to share with us, so thank you very much for coming. And then we will move forward to unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business? New business?
I have some.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, both me and Ken got the opportunity to go over to Olympia for a couple days. And we got to listen to the governor on Wednesday, and she talked to us for a little bit. As you know, the state is facing some more deficit this year, more than what they projected from the year before. The governor did assure us that state shared revenues should be okay with the cities. Those shouldn't be impacted too much. Where you can see a lot of the impact is school districts and hospitals. Quite a bit of impacts there. They have got a lot going on. Just in the House alone, there was a little over 1,000 House bills that were proposed just in the House side alone. So they've got a lot of work they're trying to get done in their 105-day session. We did have the head of the Department of Ecology that spoke to us for a little while. And from what I got out of his talk a little bit, there might be some reprieve on some cities. Anyway, they're under a mandate not to make up their own rules right now. You know, they have the ability to make up their own rules and impose them. But I guess they're under a mandate from the governor not to do that right now.
Okay.
So, and kind of how I, and I hope this gives us a little bit of reprieve on our waste water problem that we might have in about 5 years, especially on mandates that are unfunded. And especially where we have a perfectly good system, our discharge is very clean water. And I spoke to a couple of our representatives about this, and they even told me that would be a fight that they were willing to take on too. So, and they told us very important to keep records on discharge and how clean that water is going out and stuff. But they were very interested, I think. And like they said too, they would be willing to take that fight on with us too, if it come to that point, to if they try to force us to put in a treatment facility. Because we're looking at, in 5 years down the road, we're looking at probably close to $20 million from some of the costs that some of the other cities have said that they've had to do, especially on the west side. So I kind of got a good feeling out of that portion of it. I would like to have the mayor put together a legislative committee out of the council members. A couple of the cities that were there, Bowman, Cheney, they actually had a legislative committee. And once a month they would contact their legislator on the phone and sit and have conversations with them on current issues and stuff, and stuff that was proposed in the House and the Senate. So it'd be nice to have something put together like that. Our legislators are willing to do that with us. I don't know if Ken's got any more on it.
Pretty well covered everything. A couple things. I know everybody's concerned about our Public Works Trust Fund. It's kind of a holding pattern, but it looks like they're still going to try to fund that. It'll be a lot lesser dollars, but at least that fund will be there somewhat for some of the for the cities to at least to get something out of that. It'll be a stretched fund because there won't be that many dollars in it to make things happen. But it looked like that's possible. That could work. Debbie had a few issues with some of the records, the way they're keeping them and whatnot, and most of that was hung up in committees, so I don't know whether any of that's going to get out of there or not. It's kind of a concern that I know some of these issues with small cities that they're having some problems with lawsuits and whatnot, and I think it's an issue, and I think people are aware of it. They just haven't come up with a good way as far as legislature is concerned to deal with some of that stuff. But they are working on it. I'm not saying it'll come through this session or not, but they are working on that. I think Ken pretty well covered the rest of it. I did run into a few people that I knew over there from the other side. I don't want to say that sometimes, but sometimes it helps to know some of those people from the other side over there. I get a little different view of what's going on. I know sometimes we think we're over here on this side and we're not getting anything that we want, but you look at both sides of the picture and it takes both of us to work together to make this thing all happen. So maybe the good thing, Boeing got that new contract for a tanker, maybe that'll ease the pressure a little bit on everybody in the state. So it's something that's there that nobody thought would happen. So it's good to get it.
I'm going to put in a quick plug for the San Diego Crane Festival. While we were over there, it was surprising the amount of people when they come up during the break time and everything else, and they notice you're a former fellow, and that would be the first thing they'd recognize the city of Ophelia with, would be the San Diego Crane and how great of a festival we had. So it was nice to hear that.
Any other new business?
May I have one quick point? Mike has to be excused tonight, but our revenue projection, our revenue monies reported by the state lagged 2 months behind. So we just found out today what our December revenues were. We made substantial gains compared to the rest of last year. And Mike will be reflecting that in his monthly report. But I just wanted to report that we've made up ground that we've lost last year, sales tax revenue.
So is there three people that's interested in legislative committee? Would you like to be involved in that? Gina? Anybody else? Ken? Kayler? And Ken Johnson? Okay. Did you get that, Amon? So I guess we'll have to sit down and talk about what that means, I guess. So since you heard about it, you're going to be our lead people. So, good. That sounds a pretty neat idea. Okay, Council, you have something else?
I got one more thing, too. Ken mentioned Sand Hill Grain Festival. I went to one of their meetings today, and there's a whole different attitude and the concept of those people. They're all on board. Everything's on track. And it's going to happen, and it looks like it's going to be as good an event as we've had in the past, or even better. They thanked the city of Othello for stepping in and helping out us, especially some of our personnel that jumped in and made things happen. And so they're pretty happy about that, and I think the community will be happy when it all gets said and done and we have our Sand Hill Grain Festival. Matter of fact, I think they're coming to a council meeting here very shortly and talk to us again. So.
The biggest feedback and concern I'm getting about now is updating their website. Has that been done?
They're talking about that. They're working on that right now.
Okay.
And then they want to tie that in with the city one so that all works back and forth together. So that was one of the issues they had about that.
They're on the workshop for next month.
Okay. Good.
I've got one.
Mark Snyder?
Chief Dunning and I went to the Kittitas County Law and Justice Council, just to see how that it was kind of run, since we kind of just started ours back up a couple of years ago here. And then we met with the adult probation department and just kind of got some ideas from them, you know, how they do it. And so it was a pretty good meeting. When they started up their adult probation, it took them 2 years, and they had paid back all the startup money and were self-sufficient. And we're still the only county in the state that doesn't have an adult probation officer.
Yep.
How are they self-sufficient?
Because if you're on probation, you pay for that.
Ooh. Ouch.
Any other new business? Mark, you started to raise your hand for a second, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll also receive the following department head January reports. Any comments or questions on that? Okay, and this meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming. What happened? Get up there. Log out. Logging off.
If she's taking them off to sell them,
yes, sir.